What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Geekable Podcast. If you are new here to the podcast, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We have a guest that's going to blow your socks off who we've been chatting with for a while, and we are so amped to have on. And if you're an old time guest, thank you so much for coming back for more. We appreciate it. And yeah, without further ado, let's just get right into this. First off, we have Anas back amidst all the chaos. So it's great to have the other co-host of Geekable here today. And we are joined by the very famous, I will use the word famous in our space of comic book geek, Instagram stuff going on, an amazing cosplayer, amazing person. We have Namor Cosplay here joining us. Cool. How you doing, Namor?
That was quite the intro. I don't feel like a little awesome, but thank you.
No, it's awesome. I mean, dude, I say that because, like, you are Namor.
Like, I try to be. You know, it's when you only cosplay him minus, like, you know, Icarus. But you know, I've done in total 7 different cosplays of him.
So, wow, have you really?
Here, yeah, 5 like suits, and then 2 variants, which means like a cape on one, or just like straight up pants. So like,
yeah.
So 7 different looks over the course of a year.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I mean, it's just so distinct. I mean, first of all, how tall are you, dude? You're gonna be like what, 6'3"?
6'3".
Yeah. Yeah, 6'3". Like, you know, I saw you hitting a gym selfie the other day. Like, you're pretty big. Like, love it. Like, yeah.
Competitions.
Do you really?
Yeah, I started. It was the pandemic, and they kind of went hand in hand. Because I've always, you know, wanted to do those, and it was perfect for the pandemic because it keeps you busy. So I did one in December 2020, then I did another one in July 2021. And that's where, like, I got a lot of photos on that day because I was,
yeah,
like, I have, like, so dehydrated. Like, mm-hmm. My body fat is, like, 0. I look fantastic. It was, like, that one was, like.
Yeah. Very. Oh, I think I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Before we got on here, I just quickly scrolled through some of your pictures, saw the ones that, like, were, you know, had the most likes and stuff. And they are just so cool. I mean, seriously, I think the first time I saw you was on, you know, a friend of all of ours, Paul, on Power of X-Men. He kind of put on a clip of you talking as Namor because you were about to be on his show. And I was like,
yeah.
This guy is this is next level. Like, it's so awesome. And your Icarus stuff too. Have to throw that in there. Really cool. If anyone's a fan of the Eternals. Yeah. Very cool. Say that one more time.
I know we're a fan of the Eternals.
Yes, we are. We are. For anyone listening, today we're going to be obviously talking about Namor Cosplay, some of his cool stuff. But this is really going to be an episode about comics. Okay. There's a very big event coming out that you should all be aware of. You should all be very excited for it too. I truly have high hopes for this event. And I know a lot of people are somewhat skeptical of events these days, as I guess we should be, because this seems to be another earth breaking event in comics every other weekend. So, but this one is really good. Is an excellent writer. We'll get all into that and why you should care about it, because it's going to be I think it's going to be a great event. And I'm not just gassing it up because I love Kieran Gillen, the writer. I think it's actually going to be a great event. So before we touch into that, you know, Namor, is it okay if we light you up with just a few preliminary questions that we have? I'd love to know how you got into cosplay, how you got into comics, just a little background on yourself would be awesome.
Sure. I got into cosplay way back in like 2015. But you know, up until that point, like, it was usually just like one big cosplay a year. Like, my first one was the Punisher.
Cool.
And then I did, like, you know, Stealth Suit, Winter Soldier, but it was just a jacket. It was nothing crazy. It was like a college cosplay. But then I did Aegon Targaryen. I'm a big Thrones fan. But then the pandemic hit, and, like, you know, got to a point, you know, within it, because I'm working, but I'm also, you know, there's a lot of free time. And I was tired. You know, I've watched everything on my list. I've read so many things on my list. Like, I dropped like $200 in one sitting on comic books.
Oh, wow.
I was right in like the heat of like the worst part of the pandemic. So nothing's going on. So, like, I just, like, I'm just going to buy all this stuff. I'm not going to any events. I'm not going to any festivals. So, but then I got bored and I was like, I want to do something to create up my mind. And I've been dying to do Namor because he's been my favorite, and like with the physique show, I felt very confident to do it. So nice. I kind of started there, and you know, kind of got into the groove of it, and kind of fell into the cosplay community because like I've gone to cons, but it's usually just been like with friends, so I've never really been in the community.
Right, and you're in LA, right? Real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Cool.
I'm in SoCal, LA.
Do you make your own costumes, or do you have people who you do?
Yes.
What materials do you use? That's amazing. Do you know how to sew?
Yeah, yeah. I actually, the ironic thing is, like, you know, I learned to sew because, like, with my, I did like a Hawkeye suit, Ultimates Hawkeye, way back in like 2017. And my ex girlfriend, my girlfriend at the time, her mother sewed it for me.
Oh, no way. That's so funny. Yeah. I kind of relate to that whole thing. My grandma owned, when she came from Brazil, she started a bridal shop. So she always would like make with my mom, like, the craziest Halloween. Like I was like Union Jack once, like I was Nightcrawler. Like, you know, so it's you can nice. Really like go crazy when you know how to sew. Like you can do like anything. Like
that's what I'm saying. So that's what happened is like I did Aegon and I was like, I need to sew for this, but I don't know how to sew. So obviously me and this girlfriend broke up a while ago, so I can't like be hit her mom up and be like, can you make something for me? But I just bought a sewing machine and I just learned to sew myself.
Wow, very cool.
Taught everything. But it's like over time, you know, my MO is really like every new cosplay, I need to try something new, whether it's new material or technique or something. Like Icarus was my first cosplay ever using Warbla. I've never used it before, but
using, you know, what? I'm sorry.
Warbla, it's like a thermoplastic versus like foam. You know, Warbler is a little more sturdier and like, you know, it doesn't bend or get creased. So it's like, it's solid. And I knew like with Icarus being so, you know, thick in the chest and everything, like it would totally like get creases if I did it all in foam. So I've been doing that, using that with everything else and just kind of learning everything. But, you know, then the pandemic, I did basically the back-to-back Namors because I was just, I got like a high because he's my favorite character.
Yeah. Why? If I may ask.
Sure. I get introduced to him way back, you know, during like Invaders. That was actually my first comics, Invaders and Captain America and Baron Blood.
Ooh, were you talking like Invaders by Roy Thomas?
Yeah, like, the OGs.
Oh, dude. You know, all day.
My dad had six brothers, so we had a lot of comics and my grandparents. So.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Very nice. Man, what a great series. Oh, what a great series. Yeah. Continue. Oh, love that.
But Namor is my favorite because like at first it was Captain America when I was reading just only Captain America comics. Then I got interested in Namor through the Invaders.
Gotcha.
And I liked, and it's like how I kind of see him is like he's a king. So he's, you know, Captain America is like a Boy Scout, like a hero, you know, doing the right thing no matter the cost. Namor is like, he's going to, you know, he could be a hero in one issue. Then next, you know, issue he's the villain or an antagonist, better word. I just really liked his spontaneity and the fact that he didn't, you know, abide to like the moral standard of being a hero. He was a king. So that's what really vibed with him. Because he was just like he didn't know what to expect. You know, it just made him a really interesting character. So I really vibed with him in that way and kind of became just like obsessed with how cool he was. And, you know, I loved how he talks in the third person. I think it's just, you know, it's like, you know, I'm Prince Namor.
Yeah, so pretentious. He can be a dick, but we love it. Yeah, absolutely.
But he's such like, a dick. That's the thing though, is like when a writer writes him well, that's when he's at his best because, you know, he's on a line between being like, you know, kind of dickish, but at the same time, he's also like, you know, has good morals and is a good person. Like there's been plenty of writers who just make him a straight up dick. And it's just
right. Enjoyable. Right. Like,
as we all know, Jason Aaron is just really bad.
at writing Namor right now.
Oh yeah, my god!
Not
the entirety of Namor Nation is like our little fandom, our small but mighty fandom. We just rip on it because we just can't stand it. It's a character.
Yeah, book. Yeah. His whole Avengers book is just not very. But then it's like you read. I don't know if you said maybe you're Punisher. I don't know if you read his Punisher number one, but I was like, loved that.
He has had like, you know, good, but the Avengers. I see Jason Aaron as a guy who he's good with one character. Like with the team, he's not good because there's just so many different people.
His like Mighty Thor stuff, his Doctor Strange stuff is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gets to a team, like, it's just like, no.
Yeah.
It just feels like he's throwing like shit at a wall and hoping something will stick. Like,
yes, I agree.
Like, saying earlier about like all these events happening every week. It's like, I feel like there's always like a, like World War Hulk or Red Hulk.
Yeah.
Enter the Phoenix, which was horrible. Like,
yeah. Oh, like, terrible. That was just, that was, I remember putting like a few issues of that like down and being like, yeah. Do I finish this or just like throw it in the box and just,
I just like, didn't look at the costume because the costume.
Yeah.
But like, it was ironic because while that was going on, which we thought was one of the worst Namor, you know, characterizations we've ever seen, Kurt Busiek's King in Black miniseries for Namor, which is 5 issues, that was going on at the same exact time.
That's right.
The same exact week release. And it's just like, we have the best Namor we've ever seen like in the past decade. And
really? That's some high praise. I didn't really enjoy the mini that much.
I just thought it was, you know, it went into history really well and really kind of did the characters.
That's like, right. That's right. Yeah. Think about it now. It wasn't that good because it didn't really tie into King in Black that much. And I remember being like, this isn't what I kind of.
Yeah.
But maybe if I reread it again with a lens of like, this is a Namor story, it'd probably be good.
Yeah. That's how we look at it. Cause you know, Atuma's been around since basically the birth. Like he's been around for like, he's as long as Namor. Mm. And we've never really gotten a full backstory on Atuma until King in Black. And then I think it really expanded the vibes of Atlantis, but also with I'm a huge Lady Dorma fan, it's Namor's love, and they expand on Dorma and gave her more, you know, Dorma saved the day, even, you know, which was really kind of exciting. So it just felt like he actually dove into the mythos. Because like people have asked, like even Paul asked, like, so what is Atlantis? And I was like, I don't know what Atlantis is, because it's either getting destroyed every other week, or it's like, you know, it's just not, you know, no one's classified it yet, which is one of the downfalls of the modern age, is like after this, you know, the Silver Age Submariner, and like, you know, there was a miniseries, it was great, but then, you know, once we hit the 90s and a little bit after, we kind of lose touch of what exactly Atlantis is, and they kind of toss them up on the surface a lot. So it's just always been a, you know, Atlantis gets destroyed.
Yes. No, I agree. It's been more of a plot device than anything. Yeah. I completely agree with that. Which is too bad, because Atlantis is like pretty badass. And you brought up a great point about that Namor King of Black series. If anyone's looking to like really know Namor, that's actually a great series, because I remember reading it and being like, wow, this is like a very Atlantis, like every character is getting fleshed out.
Yeah.
I didn't know this much about this character, and now I know like, well, way too much. And this, like, I remember it being like, this is Kurt Busiek did his homework for that one.
Oh, he did.
I mean, he's a legend, so I would expect nothing less, you know.
He also wrote my favorite storyline of all time, which is the Kang Dynasty.
Oh, my.
That's just, I remember.
Dude, I love that.
I was like,
a really lost. Good book. Like,
oh,
the image of the Wasp, like signing over like articles of surrender.
In that silent issue. Yes.
That was just, my jaw was on the floor. I was like,
yeah,
they didn't just lose, they lost,
dude. They lost. Like I don't want to spoil the story too much, but like a lot of people die and that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
Right. And that was badass of Kang too. Just, oh man, I love going off like this. I didn't know you were like a super comic reader, but like I remember in that issue.
See, but that's all my comics.
Oh, I love that. That's a fat wall. Yeah, there we go.
Well, got a lot of comics.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember in that issue, like Kang was pointing and they thought he was like pointing at the president, and then the president starts like walking towards him to like sign Kang's like whatever.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, and he points at Wasp because he just like wants the Avengers to sign it. So badass. Oh man,
I was actually chatting with him on Twitter about that. I told
him, no way.
Yeah. And he said it was actually supposed to be, they wanted George Bush to sign because he was the president at the time to sign up, and then after the 9/11 thing, they didn't think it was a good idea, so they went Wasp.
Yeah, instead. probably yeah, was. Yeah, probably for the best. Oh, that's very cool. Okay, cool. I love how you know like comic lore. I wasn't sure where you were.
Oh, I love comics. Like I have like the entirety of like the Annihilation Saga. I'm a big cosmic person.
Yeah, Dan Abnett and Lanning. Yeah, absolutely.
Nova's my second favorite character of all time, like Star Fox, and I actually like Star Fox before the Eternals, big fact.
I could see you pulling off a Star Fox, honestly.
I would love to do Star Fox eventually.
Yeah.
Big that, you know, I just kind of vibe with all that stuff, you know. Actually, Nova was like the first comic I collected in real time all by myself at the comic.
Which series?
The 2007-2008 kind of era, like
the best one,
the best one before, yeah. You know, not Sam Alexander.
No, I love that. That's cool. You're gonna love me or hate me for this, but I'm gonna say it. All right, because sure. You're a big Namor guy. Namor in Dark Reign, like the whole Dark Reign. That's my favorite Namor.
I mean, it's pretty intense. Minus that one drawing of him in the Dark Reign, or no, in the Cabal, where. Thing where he just looks terrible in one. We call it the cursed image. He's like
oh really, that's funny. So do you okay with me saying that?
Oh,
you
gonna leave the Zoom?
Oh, okay.
I love all that stuff, you know,
because I've triggered people saying that for some reason.
Dark Reign is like one of those things where it was in my early days of like collecting comics, so that and like has a special place in my heart. So like,
yeah,
I like when things get flipped on their heads. Like, it's not just like, you know, good things and bad things. It's like, oh, there's the narrative's been switched into like, you don't know what's going to happen at the Dark Avengers.
Right. Right. Yes. Stuff. Yeah. So. Norman Osborn, all that good stuff, man. That was fun. That was a fun time. That was cool. So you are clearly very versed. I know you're very versed in the Eternal stuff, which very is versed. Yes. And that series is popping off right now by Kieran Gillen.
I haven't heard
too much about it, and I can't say too much bad about it. I mean, it's just a very good, for the first time I like care about the Eternals. I know Neil Gaiman had a very good run. Yeah, but other than that, I mean, they were never on my radar, and I like, you know, take pride in like knowing my shit. And like, I didn't really know much Eternals because I never really had reason to. They just weren't that riveting. And now they're like a top player. Yeah, they're right. And so you're loving the run.
To be honest, I didn't know who they were to begin with. I knew it was like one of those things. There's always those like random like races in like in the comics. Like, oh, here's this random race from this planet in this like couple issues. Because I remember they were in an issue with Star Fox and the Avengers when Star Fox found out he was actually an Eternal, and they found out, oh yeah, my dad is a Lars. Like, oh, I knew what happened to him. He's my dad. It's like, what?
Yeah.
But I didn't think much of it because they appear in one Avengers issue and that's it. Because when they announced the movie in June 2018, I remember this specifically. It's like, who are they? I pride myself in knowing a lot of stuff. I read a lot of comics, and I couldn't tell you one Eternal's name. So what I did was I was just at this temp job, and I had nothing to do, so I went on Read Comics online,
and oh yep,
I read Kirby's original run.
That's what I did. That's so funny. Yep.
I was blown away by it because I didn't know who they were, so there's like no you know premonition thought of it, but also I loved how it didn't feel like it was in the Marvel universe, but it was so different. And the biggest draw for me was the Celestials. Like,
yes,
kept me reading because, you know, while they squabble amongst themselves, this massive 50-foot creature is just standing still in the Andes Mountains, just, you know, waiting to judge if the Earth should be destroyed or not. And I thought that was just like terrifying and just really well written for like that point in time.
Oh, that is the comic. Like, people always say like Jack Kirby was ahead of his time. Oh, that is Exhibit A. Of like, that made me understand, because I never understood why people said that. And then I read that. Honestly, admittedly, I don't think I didn't finish the run. I think I stopped at like issue 23 or something.
Yeah.
I didn't finish it. I should go back and reread it retroactively now. But that series was pretty. That was, yeah,
amazing. And then I like to read physical books. So
me too.
After I read the original run, I ordered all the rest of them off Amazon, which was like 3 books, because there's not much on them.
There isn't.
I tell them, like, you should read them. It's not like you're reading the history of like Namor, which spans back to 1939. There's like 4 runs before the movie came out, and I became so hooked. And like, Neil Gaiman's run was just fantastic. And that's where, because actually, you know, everyone thinks this because of the movie, but like, movie wise Icarus is my favorite, but comic wise Makari is actually my favorite.
Okay.
He was the center of Neil Gaiman's run. He was like the, you know, the grounding guy who was like, you know, because Icarus is like, you're a god, Makari, because like Sprite removed all their memories and made them human. And Icarus alone remembered who he was. And then Makari's like, I'm just like a doctor. Like, you know, this whole thing. And that's where he like starts seeing Cersei and stuff. Macari and Cersei, not Icarus and Cersei. And then they went down to the 2007 run with To Slay a God. And that was the art. That's probably one of my favorite arts. I think it's just really well done. I forgot the name of the person, but it's just beautiful. And the whole thing with like Macari is like the center of it. And again, but it's just, it's really well done. And then I think they always just really turn on their heads because it's a lot more about morals and, you know, this bigger picture thing, bigger than the earth, which I think is very fascinating.
Yes, it is. And that really is boiled down to it, like what the Eternals are. They're just like bigger than life. And that was always a part of the reason why I didn't really connect with them too growing up, was because I couldn't relate to them in a single way. And if there's like, I love the Eternals, but if there's one thing I will say, it's like they were ridiculously complex. Like, like it was, you kind of had to take notes, and that's where you kind of lose me a little bit. Like you really, it was a lot, like how they became, you had Kronos, you had all the stuff, you had the war between them. And it was like, the war was kind of, it's like, what was it really over? And it just like kind of went from there. And I was like, okay. But that was a big reason.
Yard,
yes. Yeah.
It was like, if you can simulate a timeline, it's like always sometimes what you can do, or try to make reason with it. Cause it is, right. It's pretty complicated. Plus with the, Heretic just coming out, that kind of jumbles it up a little bit more. But you know, beggars can't be choosers, as long as we got something. So
right. And there, I mean, this, that's like stuff to chew on too, like Uranos entering the scene, like that's big. Yeah, let's dive into more of the current stuff. Let's talk about that, because Judgment Day is coming. When is that? June
Free Comic Day.
Right. That is the kind of kickoff. There's pretty much prelude right now. I mean, I would call the entire Eternals run thus far pretty much prelude to the story. And we know the X-Men are going to have a huge role in this, which I'm so excited about. And I really want to talk to you about my theory and kind of use you and Anas as a soundboard for it. So Judgment Day is coming. At first, I wasn't really sure what to make of it, but I was really, you know, there's a lot of seeds being planted, right? We have the Eternals, written by Kieran Gillen. We have Immortal X-Men, which comes out, I want to say next Wednesday, Immortal X-Men number one, written by Kieran Gillen, which seems, that's a book to buy. If you're listening to this, I would consider that a book to buy. Yeah. So, and we have the Avengers, who I kind of feel like are just kind of being tossed in there a little bit, but
they're there by default.
Yeah. They sell. They're right. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it'll be good to have. I'm sure Kieran Gillen will write them. I mean, the thing that drew me into this was Kieran Gillen was like, this wasn't supposed to be an event. And then Marvel said, hey, we want you to make this an event. This sounds really good. And he was like, let's go.
Yeah.
So
I thought it'd be Arshim, but I don't think it's going to be him. So I'm really interested. That was my first theory, like when they announced it. Because Judgment, you know, that's his
whole thing. That's what I thought too. Yep, first thing that came to my mind. Yes.
I mean, he still could be an option. I mean, but I feel like now we're at a point where it's been months since they announced it, right? I feel like, he's kind of, he'd be like a wild card.
right. I wouldn't be, I mean, the Celestials have to tie into it to some extent. Will they like come to Earth? I don't know. Will the battle somehow be drawn out to them? I don't know. But do you think Apocalypse is going to come back to fight Thanos? That's my big one.
That would be an interesting theory, because, you know, Apocalypse, isn't he? He's becoming pretty big on Krakoa right now, isn't he? I haven't been following the X-Books as hard, but I know I've heard like him and Exodus are like a big deal now, and like they've like less been about like world destruction or something like that.
Yes,
so they could be something like that.
But he has been like out of the picture. He's been on Otherworld, I think, since Ten of Swords.
Okay.
Yes. Ten of Swords was the last time we saw Apocalypse, and he went off with his wife and his like true love, Genesis, and they went. Oh man, where did they go? I forget. They went off somewhere. I'm literally pulling a blank right now, but they went off. It is like pretty much, I think it actually has been confirmed that Apocalypse will come back. It's just, and as he should, I agree. Like, he's one of my favorite parts of the X-Men personally. So I would love to see that. But look, this is kind of, we talked about this before, Namor. Like, basically, and I've told you this too, Anas, like the way back in X Factor by Simonson, right? Apocalypse, Ensaban Nur was gifted the Apocalypse armor. Pretty much, I wouldn't actually call it a gift. I would say the Celestials let him borrow it because the Celestials will call upon him one day out of nowhere for sort of payback for letting him keep the armor and the ship too. He also kept the Eternal ship, which is huge. And that pretty much really, that kickstarted Apocalypse in terms of just being a problem to like a world-ending problem. Was the fact, I mean, he was gifted complete power with that tech. So I would really love to see that, you know, I mean, what was that? Like 40 years ago or something now? Like, I would love to see that come back and the Celestials come knocking. Hey, Apocalypse, like, time for you to come back and pay us back, right? The tie it in with the Eternal. It just works. It just works. I'd love to see it happen, but it's kind of a long shot. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, you know, firstly, we think of the Celestials. Like, I don't know if it's going to be like the you know, like Arshim and Nazar and like, you know, all those people, but you know, it could be the dead Celestial, the Avengers thing, because that is the center of the Judgment Day cover. And, you know, the Eternals are there right now. And I feel like that's the only reason the Avengers are involved, to be honest. But, you know, I think in the Eternals number 10, the Ajak or Makario, I forget which one, they're speaking to the Celestial and the Celestial speaks back. So maybe it's that Celestial who has a role, which I feel like that's the whole reason Judgment Day is happening. Because, I mean, we don't know what they're finding, because I know they're looking for the, you know, the deviant gene so they can figure out how to defeat Thanos. So maybe they find something even deeper.
I think that's definitely what's going to happen, which is super like, are the mutants really deviants somehow? You know, you can kind of look at it like, yeah, in a way they are. I mean, going back to what Kirby set up way back in the early Eternals issues, right? When he literally pretty much created the foundation of the Marvel Universe, there was the mutants, the deviants, and the Eternals.
Yeah, and I forgot which one. There was one, I think, I don't know if I'm making this up or if I remember this from an Eternals like history issue. I think there was like one, I think there was one Celestial who like toyed around with some of the humans and created the X gene. So I don't know.
I think you're correct. Yeah, see, that's where you kind of lose me too, because like so much happened in those issues. Like so much happened.
You know,
like,
history issues, so they're not even like big ones. Like, I mean, they're in my Eternals omnibus. That's how I found them. Like, I didn't know like Marvel even made history, Untold History issues until like I read in my omnibus.
Right.
So there's just so much unpacked there. I mean, even now, like, I just feel like, you know, the way Kieran Gillen's writing, he just turned the Eternals on their head and like, you know, in like a, not a soft reboot, essentially a reboot, because
I would agree. I would use the word reboot. So. Yeah. I would use the word reboot. And I don't throw that word around lightly, but like that, and they needed it too. So it was totally warranted. Yeah.
I like how they did the callbacks though. That was kind of nice. Like, you can still tell like they remember the past events.
So right.
Forgot about it. Like, I liked in Celestia that where Ajax like, hey, remember the time, like, you know, I tried to kill you. It was like, which we have a quick tangent, by the way. My one thing about the Eternals movie versus the comics, I think the Eternals movie is near perfect and I love it. But as a comic fan, one thing I didn't like is how they switched up Icarus and Ajax personalities. I think as you've read the Eternals, you kind of see Ajax is a little bit of a religious, crazy, insane person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the 2007 run, when Makari was, you know, when the Dreaming Celestial picked him to, you know, be the speaker of the Celestial, Ajax got jealous and actually murdered Makari and framed it as a deviant. And I was like, interesting.
Yes.
Put that and just switch the characters. But back to what we were talking to, just want to put that out there.
No, I'm glad you did. Yeah, that's I concur with that completely. Yeah. And something you just said really sparked something Anas and I have talked on the show about. I think we talked about it, but a while ago. Anas, what's your mention again your like theory on how the Eternals can just last forever in the MCU, because they
can just recast them anytime.
Right. they could just recast them.
They can kill them off camera, and then they can bring a different actor and be like, oh yeah, the machine spit out a different Icarus this time.
They did. Someone online was like, how about we get a new Icarus, but he has like the long blonde hair.
Yeah, right.
Still Richard Madden, but Richard Madden has the long hair now. So. No.
That's funny. Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, going back to Judgment Day, I firmly believe there's going to be like some, I think it actually will be kind of Marvel Universe changing with what Kieran Gillen does with how the Eternals are kind of mapped to the mutants and vice versa, and how that's going to change things going forward, because this is literally changing the mutant landscape is what Kieran Gillen's saying, but hasn't really said yet. And we'll see in the pages of Judgment Day.
See, what I don't understand about Judgment Day is that if the mutants were really like excess deviants, then how would it make sense for a lot of mutants to be born from human parents?
Well, you know, here's one thing before we dive, you know, I think some context about that. People online refer to like ripping on the Eternals off that quote. But I was like, you know, they probably haven't read the comics, but the line was like, you know, there's one, you know, we got wiped out the deviants except for like the mutants or something. But I'm totally misquoting that. But, you know, that quote was from Druig, which, you know, we all know is, you know, he's not like the movie, which is like, you know, just the, you know, what's the word? Angsty teen. He, you know, in the comics, he's like, he's a Cold Stone murderer and backstabber and betrayer.
Yes.
Like, you know, in Neil Gaiman's run, he, you know, uses mind control to make people see their worst fears and make them kill themselves. Like, he's not a good dude.
No.
Yeah. And he said that quote, and that's where my first instinct was, okay, so something's not right. Because, and also, like, I sent you that, I don't know if you guys read it, but the Kieran Gillen's interview, with, I forgot who it was, but he said they're the good Eternals and the bad Eternals. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be Icarus and co, like being the whole, like, you know, the antagonist. I feel like Druig is going to be doing what Druig does best and, you know, be a horrible person.
Yes, completely agree. And I hope we see that, because Druig is a problem. Like, guy's a maniac. He's a maniac. I mean,
horrible.
Yeah, horrible. Horrible. And I love how Thanos in the last issue, the Heretic issue, he's always calling him like a snake, like go like crawl away, like go, like, you know, because that's what Druig is. I mean, he's like Mephisto, right? Mephisto's just like a slippery like character, and you love to hate him. And Druig is like the same, like, I love to hate him. So we'll see how that plays. It'll be great to see the Eternals interact with the mutants and the Avengers, because that's something we haven't really seen for a long time. And this is going to be interesting, because in that same article you sent, Kieran Gillen didn't shy away from the fact that, quote, the Eternals are the bad guys in this. So what that means, I think we might have some sympathy towards the mutants when the discovery is made, and it's just going to be very complicated, and the Eternals won't necessarily be in the wrong, but to us they will be. That's what I said this when Judgment Day was announced. Kieran Gillen isn't like any other writer. Like, he's going to make us like question like life and death and what love means and all this other stuff. Like, that's what you get out of him. Like, he's not, you know, there's going to be action, but like, there's going to be like a lot of conflict and not a lot of resolution. And that's like what sparks great storytelling, I think.
It's great too, because he's just, I feel like he doesn't shy away. He's not a people pleaser, you know. He's gonna do what the story is right.
Very good point.
And I feel like that's what's good, is because I like those kind of stories where, like, yeah, maybe the Eternals are in the wrong, maybe they're not, because you're looking at, it's, you know, what's good for the Eternal Society versus what's good for the mutant society. And then
just like you said with Namor and Black Panther too. I would put them in the same boat. Like, Black Panthers, you know, they're doing what's best for their nation. Like, make no mistake. Like, that is right. And Jonathan Hickman did that so beautifully in the New Avengers book back when that came out, like, a while ago, like 8 or 6 years ago now. And he did that beautifully, because like both Namor and Black Panther would say it all the time, I'm doing what's best for my nation, right? Yeah. Like, that's what I'm here to do. Like, the Eternals are the same way, and now the mutants are too. And that changes, and that's going to breed catastrophe, and it's going to breed conflict.
But now
Absolutely.
I'm curious what the Eternals are going to do, because I feel like they're in such a different place right now, you know, versus like what they were beforehand. Like, I think, you know, one of the biggest moments in the new book that just had my jaw on the floor was like when they realized, like, when they get resurrected, a human died. Like, that's that one panel where like the kid's just dead after Icarus has been trying to like protect him.
Hardcore panel. I put the book down and I was like, okay, I'm hooked, because I read it, I'll be honest, because of Kieran Gillen, but mostly because of Asad Rabik's artwork. Like, he's just one of my favorites. Really? And that is what sold it for me. I was like, this is a top book right now for me. Because that's what I needed. That's what we needed. I think I could speak for a we when I said, because like they weren't that compelling. They just weren't.
It took me a second too, because I was first confused when I started reading issue one at the narrator, because the narrator is like the machine
right
on Earth, and I was like, who's talking right now? Was it Icarus? Because it was blue. I was like, it's not him. And then I eventually caught on that it was Earth, that was the machine, which I thought, you know, it was actually kind of witty, really, because it's just like,
yes,
this one was like, sorry, I'm just not feeling like myself right now.
Yes, almost breaking the fourth wall. I think it actually did break the fourth wall once or twice. Yes, which is amazing. And it's done so beautifully too. It's not just like breaking the fourth wall. It's like there's kind of some stuff, but I don't know. It's very different. It's just so thought out.
This book's a lot darker, in my opinion, versus like Gaiman's run was dark as well, but then the 2007 one was pretty bright. And Icarus fought with the X-Men at the same time.
Like, and not to go off on like a Marvel, like sort of like philosophical sort of, but like I love in Marvel when, and they're just known for this too, and DC does it too, but I love it with Marvel, is when the kind of like the brightest characters, like the godly characters, they have the darkest stories in Marvel comics, I would argue. And that's what I like love, because we're talking about like perfect human beings here in every sense. Perfect, yes, with quotation, you know, they look, they're like supermodels, they're just everything. Their intelligence is everything.
Richard Madden.
But the Eternals stories are always dark, and they're always filled with like backstabbing and just brutal torture and all this, just very brooding sort of stories. And like, I just had to throw that in there. And that's what I love about this series too. Right.
Been alive that long. It's bound to happen.
Good point. Really good point. And sort of going along with the Eternal stuff. Now I'm trying not to spoil too much. I'm trying, but like some stuff might get spoiled, but I really love how Thanos is. I don't think I've seen him this set up just to win since Infinity Gauntlet. And I would argue that like maybe he's even more ready now than when he had the Infinity Gauntlet and he wiped out half the universe. I think he's more of a problem now. I think an argument could be made for that.
Because he's like, he planned a coup basically, and you know, is now, you know, Eternal Prime and
right.
Him, and now he's the interesting thing though, that is I don't know, it's all sympathetic, but he wants to be part of the machine. I don't know if that makes him a sympathetic character, that he just wants to be part of something, or if he's just trying to be nefarious. But I did kind of lose that when he started like you know killing his parents again.
That was dark. I remember reading that. I looked on the back. I don't know if you read any other what Mark, but like, you know, sometimes I'll like look on the back, and on the barcode, it'll say like parental advisory. I like checked on the back of that when I saw that, and I was like, is this book a parental advisory Marvel Con? And it wasn't. And I was like, editorial's letting them kind of get away with a lot here. I mean, but that's what you do when you have prime storytellers like Kieran Gillen and Asad Rabik. You let them tell the story and you don't get in their way, and you give them whatever they need. Like, that's
exactly,
you know,
Thanos is going to be in it. I was like, oh, are we just trying to get like an MCU kind of thing going on? I was like, oh,
no, that too.
Deep. Like, it's not just like, oh, here's Thanos, he's gonna fight for like two issues and then not be a problem. But I liked how they didn't just make him like a cameo character. They made him like a full-blown villain, like a huge, like he's a huge part of the Eternals now.
I mean, in a way, it's like a Thanos book.
It really is. It's his nefarious journey with Druig. As his puppet.
As his puppet, yes.
You know, I've been saying it, like, Gang's been following me. It's like, I thoroughly believe that Thanos is going to be a huge part of Judgment Day. And they left, you know, they had a trailer come out for like this event, and right. He wasn't in it at all.
Right.
He mentioned that, you know, they just said a few things here and there, but they never mentioned that Thanos is currently Eternal Prime.
And in that article you sent me, it sounds like he's not going to be Eternal. Something's going to happen next issue of Eternals, and he's not going to, which, like, I'm like, oh, like, but I just couldn't see Thanos not being in the book. I mean, he's been such a anchor character in the Eternal story thus far. I couldn't
see those screenshots too, of like the things I caught when I was rereading them.
Right.
Thanos saying like, I don't want the Avengers to know I'm here, not till I'm ready. But also one thing, you know, we haven't talked about yet is Eternals Heretic, which just came out that last week.
Great issue. Yeah.
I don't think Kieran Gillen's is just going to make like a random one-off, like one shot with Uranus just to not use him. And I sent you these things. You said, you know, he wants to like eliminate all excess deviation, which I feel like was like a little Easter egg for like, you know, or like a foreshadowing for him being a huge part. Cause they're not just going to, hey, here's this guy. He's never going to show up again. Or, you know,
yes.
The event coming in 2 issues. Like,
yep. I agree. Especially since Uranus gave Thanos a power, not a power, but yes.
Okay. Question though, do we think Moira MacTaggert is going to have anything to do with this Judgment Day?
I would love it if she was involved. I think
because she is trying to like destroy Krakoa at this point.
I don't know. I don't know. I like that question though. I really haven't thought of that. I mean, where is she right now? How did they leave it off in Inferno? I forget.
No, she's still on, like, she's still making appearances. She's still on the run right now.
Okay.
She's being chased down by, and I think in X Lives of, or to X Deaths of Wolverine, she's being chased down by the techno-organic looking virus thing, replicant of Warlock? Wolverine.
Right. Yeah. Sort of like, I think it's actually the Phalanx. Yeah. Right. Okay. And we know she's going to be an immortal X-Men, so she'll have stakes in this to some degree.
Yep.
Gee, I'm out to get on that. I'm a little behind the X-Book, so I can't.
It's easy to get behind. Like, you miss a few weeks and it's like, oh, like things happen. You miss a few months and it's like, it just becomes overwhelming to even get back in. Like, that's kind of how it goes. I feel that.
That's okay. But yeah, I feel like there's gonna be this whole, there's gonna be a red herring with how they're promoting this, with the Eternals kind of like, you know, versus the X-Men. Like, they're just trying to promote it to kind of get maybe like non-readers in, just like,
because yeah,
they're big and the X-Men are big, so it's like, oh, what's this going on? And,
yes, but it's way more than just a hero versus hero bat. We've seen that a million times. That's another complaint people have, which I kind of get. But I don't, that's not going to be this. But I did have a question for you, for both of you. If the Eternals did just, let's say they just went to Krakoa and just start, and they just started a war, who do you think would win? Eternals or mutants?
See, that's the interesting thing too now, is because they both can be immortal.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, another thing too, I just want to remind you, like Thanos, right, whoever's Prime Eternal can call upon every aspect, right? Every tribe, we'll call them a tribe for lack of a better word, of the Eternals. Like, they have armies at the ready.
There's a 100 Eternals on Earth.
Right. 100 Eternals on Earth. Yes. Right.
Versus God knows how many mutants.
That's true. I feel like, you know, personally, like, I'm thinking Eternals, obviously, because we know I'm biased, but It would be a really fair fight, because you got, like, you know, some Omega 11 mutants and everything, but at the same time they're pretty tough. But I don't know.
I have to say mutants, but you know, not every mutant is like war ready. Like, people always say like, oh, there's so many mutants. Like, it's like some of them are like us. Like, I don't know how to fight. Like, I would probably add negative aspects to what, not to like totally discredit myself, but like, I don't know any, like, right, like, you know, you have someone like Magneto, like, he's a seasoned freaking, like, he'll like F you up in a billion different ways. And then there's like someone like me, and it's like, okay, here's my mutant power, but like, I can't fight, you know. So like, when it really boils down to it, you have like the Eternals, who are warriors, Like, they will fight till the last breath.
Sprite.
Yeah, it's right. Like, I'm serious though. Like, if you go, like, they would definitely give the mutants a run for their money. I think the mutants are just very organized right now, so it's it would be tough. I don't know. See, that's like what I'm a little excited to see too, because like I do still have that like childlike wonder in me where it's like, oh, like who would win in a fight, you know, like that doesn't go away. I still would like love to see. I'm sure we'll get that to some degree, and I think that's where the Avengers are going to come in, and like I kind of see them as like sort of like the neutral third party, I guess, where they're trying to just separate them and just be like, what's going on? Let's find a way, right? Doing what Captain America does best. Like, let's find a way. There's always another way. Like, we'll see. See, I'm just very excited for it. We'll see what happens.
There's that joke too. I saw online was like, I was like, here comes Captain America trying to break up the God and the Omega level. Me, it's like, guys, please stop. Like, yeah. You don't have to do this, guys.
yeah. That basically is him every single time, right? Yeah.
It's like the gods. It's like, it's just, I think it's just so funny how they kind of do that. And I also, at the same time, like, if the Eternals can use the machine, I mean, Thanos threatened Festus with, you know, destroying that town. Like,
right. Randomly,
just like, oh, I'm going to create this thing that's going to look like a natural disaster. And the humans are getting, trying to figure out what happened. Like,
yeah. And they never will. But,
He actually did, though. He did use that.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Why did he use it again? Because
he was bored.
Because he just did it because he just.
I think so. Yeah.
I forget. Yeah. Because that was interesting. Right.
He was threatening his parents to give him the secret of the machine. And when they were to listen to like the threat, he was just like, okay, well, I'll just do it then.
Right.
Yeah. That was dark.
That was dark. That was a darkish. That was darker.
Dead, and now they're apparently alive, and then dead, but alive.
Right.
And now it actually makes me curious now, because I think it's also an MCU question too, is, you know, in the timeline, it said Star Fox was born with a different methods. So
that hasn't been answered. That hasn't been answered.
Because Star Fox is currently, it's unfortunate, he's currently dead by Thanos. But, you know, wouldn't be surprised if he comes back, especially after being in the movie. But, you know, even in the MCU, that begs the question, is like, is Thanos an Eternal in the MCU? And is was Titan like a birthplace of Celestial that never happened? That's so many questions that I got to. They definitely have a plan. I'm like, what Star Fox is, because I feel like they would just like, oh, here's this thing we're never going to talk about. Like,
right. I agree. And there's something to that, and they haven't answered it yet. That's one thing about this Eternals book, is that like, I have a hard time telling people who like have just seen the movie to read it. Cause like this book is a lot. It's a lot for a novice reader. Yeah. And very different.
Especially for the Drake Sands. I'm like, yo, you're not gonna find him there. Like,
yeah.
An Ajax. Here's another thing too. I think, you know, I know we talk about Thanos and Uranos, but I think Ajax, I consider her currently a threat too, because I mean, I don't think she's gonna be a world threat, like, you know, like the main thing, but I think she's gonna have a very antagonistic view in the Eternals issues coming up. Just because, like, you know, in the past, Ajax, he has had that. But now I just feel like he's always like somewhat of an insane religious person.
I agree. Yeah, maniac. I would use the word. Maniac,
really. Yeah. Yeah. Murderer, like everything. He's horrible. Or she is now. But I feel like, you know, Ajax is going to be somewhat of an antagonist going down. Because the way, like, you know, when she approached, like, you know, get out of my God, like going all this crazy stuff.
Yes.
Because, you know, she's obviously on this bender trying to figure out like a religious path that the Celestials are testing them in some sort of way. So, you know, she might be like something, like, best way to describe what I'm thinking is like in like Guardians of the Galaxy, when like Drax called upon Ronan to come to like find them. That's what I feel like might happen. Like, with
Ajax, like,
all so hard on the Celestials, they appear. That's a left field theory, but.
No, that is very left field, but like I'm like trying to expect the unexpected with this event, because like I think every issue is going to matter.
Yeah, they do.
You know, I really do. So that's I like that. And, you know, I forgot like how powerful Ajax was. Remember when she took on in Celestia, the Avengers 1 million BC, or is it 1 billion yeah. or 1 million? I always forget. Either way, she took them on and like she like fought that. Like I was pretty, you know, someone needs to go into her like shield file and like up her like power level by about six yeah. stars because she's like grossly powerful.
See, I would always think like in when I think about the movie itself, like I wish they made Ajax the villain in the Eternals film. Like,
I agree with that.
That would have been so cool. Like obviously, like as I said before, it's like I think it's a perfect movie in itself. If I just put it like that, obviously I love it, and I actually saw it 10 times in theaters.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? Wow, 10 times. That's I've never heard.
Okay. I was wow. stop at 8. But then my cousin wanted to see it and I said, I can't stop at 9. So I saw it 10 times.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
True.
It's my favorite movie of all time. So.
Wow. Wow.
Man. But
which is very interesting because the movie has been very divisive. Like yeah. a lot of people really either hate it or are yeah. like either, you know, there's a faction of people that are like indifferent about it, but I've never heard anyone say it's my favorite movie of all time. So that's a big,
oh, it's mine. So,
okay. I like that. Yeah. Okay.
I just thought it was really interesting and it was fresh and
it was fresh. It was fresh.
I didn't hate anything like because for instance, like my previous like record was like Thor Ragnarok and I saw that 6 times, but that was also when I was unemployed with MoviePass, so I was just seeing it because to see it. And you know, got to a point with that point, I was like, oh, there's some scenes I didn't care about. There's a character I just like didn't care about. Mm-hmm. But then there's Eternals, like I was just invested the whole movie. I don't really know. There's not another way to describe it. I was just invested from start to finish with everyone. I didn't hate anyone. Like I just thought the questions for is what really makes it interesting because you see it enough times as I have, you kind of notice everything that goes on and it kind of takes its time and it's not plot driven like you know Shang-Chi or like Black Widow is, you know,
very plot driven.
Fantastic, but there's an eight, you know, it's you have to get the point to point to point, you know, you're trying to get to the finale, but Eternals takes its time and like develops these character relationships and that's what I really enjoyed about it. But minus the Icarus flying the sun in the end, which was my least favorite part, but which was ridiculous to be honest. It he could have just flown away and it would have been a great ending.
Yeah, I also don't think he's dead. Yeah, do you think he's dead? I don't think he's dead.
Oh
yeah, no.
I mean, but I would like to have seen like if he just flew away, he could have like came back and like saved them at like the World Forge or something.
Yeah, I thought that was a little ridiculous too.
It was too on the nose. Like he could have had the shot of him flying to the sun, but then cut it there. Not like, oh, he's actually going in there. Like
I know.
Like
I agree. I don't overall, I mean, my thoughts on the movie, I kind of liked it. As time goes on, I kind of do see I like it, not less and less, but like I do see kind of where people are like, I don't really like. I just was ready for a movie that's like, oh, another like Ant-Man, like you know what you're gonna get. Like,
yeah.
Like this was like totally different. I was like, I like different, like I kind of needed it. Like, you know, Marvel's basically just been like, I keep telling people it's like handing you a glass of milk every time. And then Marvel was like, here's a glass of lemonade.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what this movie was. It was just very different. And I kind of liked that they took a step outside of their realm and did something. That's just me.
The visuals are just like the Celestials is like, I mean, I talk about this with Paula is like the way the Arsham looks, like imagine what Galactus is going to look like. Like
oh, they didn't stray away. Right?
Like when they like at the end, when like Cersei like sees like the clouds and the clouds part, and then it's just like a massive Arsham head and like right. everyone sees it, like imagine what Galactus would look like in that situation.
Yes, I loved how I mean they went like grand and then they just went like just it was mind-blowing a little bit like how big they went for that movie. I really liked it. I liked it. I mean going forward I hope we see Chloe Zhao return for another one. Yeah, I think she'd do a lot better job with the second movie too. And I'm not saying this was a bad movie. I think it would be better. I think she would understand what, because this was her first kind of big, like yeah. CGI blockbuster. Like there are growing pains with that. Like I think she would do a tremendous second movie. So
there's so many characters too.
Yeah.
It must be hard to balance. Like they had more too, like if they're like originally like Zuras and Star Fox the big role, but they cut them for time.
Really? I didn't know that.
which actually, you know, this is a totally random thing, but I thought it would be cool if like they switch up the movie and Zuras in there. Zuras was dead, but then Ajax was the villain because Ajax fucking crazy. And
yes,
I just
yeah,
think
I would have liked
a great villain. Like, but you know, Selma Hayek was like, I wish Ajax had more powers than just healing. I thought how cool would have been like if like in the finale, Ajax had like all their powers or like a lot of them. Like in the comics, how like you know all the Eternals have like so many powers.
Right.
Like she was just like overpowered. It would have been really cool. So.
Yeah, I like that too. And she did. She was a little underwhelming, I think. Yeah. You know,
early, so
right that too. Well, when the second one comes around, we will be knocking at your door to have you on the show to get your thoughts on it, because you are the biggest Eternals fan that we know. That's
I would think I am. I feel sometimes I say I feel like I'm single-handedly keeping this alive, like
judging by your Instagram, you do a hell of a job keeping it alive. Yeah. I will say you are holding the world on your show. You are. I don't really know many people that kind of are into it as much as you, and yeah. I love that. It's cool. You're an enthusiast for Eternal stuff, and when I have questions, I will definitely be hitting you up. But we are going to bring this episode to a wrap. Namor, thank you so much for being on. Really great getting to know you again. You know, we've been in each other's DMs for a while now, so really glad to have you on this episode. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. So if you are new here to Geekable Podcast, you can find us on Instagram where we talk about comics, movie, show news. You know, we have Moon Knight coming up, so we're going to be talking about that a lot. We hope you can join us for some conversations revolving around Mark Spector and all of that good stuff coming up. You can follow us at Geekable_podcast. And please, we appreciate all comments and DMs and love talking about stuff with you guys. That's why we did the show. And if you are a fan of, you know, Namor and Icarus and the Eternals and just everything that our awesome guest had to say here today, please go give him a follow. He is definitely one of the best Namor pages, just cosplay pages in general. Namor cosplay, very simple to remember. Put that in your phones. Please give him a follow, guys. Awesome. And thank you so much. And Nas, also great having you back, here on the show. So without further ado, we will see you all next week. Thank you so much for choosing Geekable Podcast and listening to us, and we'll see you soon. Thanks, everyone.